started the whole thing with one man, Abraham. He promised to give him descendants like the stars of heaven or the sands of the sea. The first boy he got, God rejected. He got another boy when he was old, 100 years old. Abraham died, he was 175 years old. His two sons got together and buried him. Ishmael went his way, and we never hear from him again in the Bible. Isaac got twins, Jacob and Esau. They were very different. One was a rough, outdoorsy type of guy, and the other one was a mama's boy, hanging around the kitchen. We will see tonight that one was mindful of the things of God, and the other one was not. God will continue the line from which Christ will come with that boy who was mindful of the things of God. Genesis chapter 27 deals with the fraudulent methods of Jacob in getting the birthright. And then we will also see the remorse of Esau. The chapter can be divided into three parts. Three wrong things. First, the wrong decision, verses 1 to 5. Then the wrong solution, verses 6 to 29. And finally, the wrong attitude, verses 30 to 46. Chapter 27 says, "Now it came to pass, when Isaac was old, and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, 'My son,' and he answered him, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Behold, now I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. And make me savory food, such as I love. And bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die.' Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt game and to bring it." Isaac was now 137 years old. It's understandable that his eyes were dim. They start dimming at age 40. Not only his physical vision was dim, but also his spiritual vision was dim. Why spiritually dim? Because we just saw in chapter 26, verse 34, that Esau married two heathen wives, going contrary to the word of God. And still Isaac wanted to bless Esau. It was a wrong decision, wrong move. Like Esau, Isaac was disregarding God's word. God had said that the older Esau would serve the younger Jacob. But this is not what Isaac wanted to do. Isaac's partiality towards Esau is obvious, and it is also wrong. Cannot have partiality in your home on the kids that you have. How old was Jacob by then? He was 77 years old. People picture him as a young kid dressing up in his brother's clothing to trick his father. No, he was an old geezer by then. Ishmael was already dead. He had died 14 years earlier at the age of 137 years old. And Isaac did not know the day of his death. Isaac had 43 more years to live. But because his older brother, Ishmael, had died at age 137, maybe he thought that he was about ready to die because he's 137 years old. Old age can be a blessing or it can be a horror. The outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day, the Bible says. For those outside of Christ, aging is a horror. But for those in Christ, it is indeed a blessing, an excitement, not only to be used by God, but to appear before Him at any moment. My older brother is exactly 77 years old. He is nothing but trouble. He is a widower. He chases women all the time. He gives them hard time. He follows them. He is a real terror in the city. I'm glad I don't live there. Isaac was trying to go around the declaration of God about the older serving the younger and change what God had said. Before the children were born, God had said it. He did not like what God had said. Many parents do not understand that they have no right to bless their children according to their own desires. All properties and monies of a Christian belong to the Lord. They are Christian assets, if you will. It is not ours to pass to the one who may misuse it or use it for evil things. Things that are contrary to God. We cannot leave our Christian assets that God has given us to children who will use it for drugs or booze or sinful habits. We need to be very careful and seek God before we leave our estates to some wild kids. So here we have the first team. The old man with his older boy. They are making plans to go around God and bless him anyway and give him the birthright, which is 66% of the estate as the birthright, as the oldest. And then a second team is going to be formed. Rebecca, the mom, and the younger boy. She heard their plan. And she will team up with the younger son to counteract their plan. So you have one home with four people and they are split up in half. Two teams of two. At verse 6, we have the second part. Now the wrong solution. From verse 6 all the way to verse 17, we have the plan of the second team. And it is the wrong solution. She is going to help her son, Jacob, to get the blessing and get the birthright. Can we say that Rebecca really loved her son, Jacob? No. She influenced him to deceive his aged father and go contrary to the word of God. It is a wrong view of love. True love would surrender the loved one and his interest into the hands of the Heavenly Father. Let's not be deceived. Let's not think that loving our children means to buy them a lot of stuff. I know they think that, but it is not. Love is manifested when we train them in the way that they should go, like God asked us to do in the book of Proverbs. Rebecca knew she was taking a big risk. The risk of permanently alienating both sons by her scheme. She did not care about that. And as we continue the story, we will see that the both boys will be completely, totally alienated one from the other. They will not spend time together. She did that. Both parents, Isaac and Rebecca, acted on the God-dishonoring proverb which says, God help those who help themselves. It is not true at all. It is a lie from the pit of hell. The Lord help those who have come to the end of themselves. Those who have tried everything and cannot help themselves. They call upon God, God will help them. So Rebecca gave Jacob her instruction. Go get two best baby goats. I will cook them and you shall take it to your dad that he may bless you before his death. That's in verse 10. Jacob was concerned. His brother was hairy and he had no hair. He was a smooth skin, he says. He was afraid his father would feel him and curse him instead of blessing him. So confident that there will be no problem, the mother accepted full responsibility, comforting her son by saying that the curse would be on her in verse 13. So he went to get the two goats. The mother took the clothes of the older son and gave them to Jacob to put on. He's 77 years old. She also put the hair of the goat on his hands and on his neck in verse 16. In verses 18 to 25, we have the actual visit of Jacob in disguise to his old man. When asked who was there, he told lie number one. He said it was Esau, the firstborn. So he started lying. Then lie number two. He said that he did what he was told to do, to go hunting and to get the savory food. That was a lie. He had not gone in the woods. Lie number three. It was not game, it was goat meat. He invited his dad to eat and then bless him in verse 19. The suspicious dad asked, how come you found it so quickly? There comes lie number four. The Lord your God brought it to me, he says in verse 20. He is now bringing God in this deception, this scheme. And still not convinced, the dad asked the son to come close so he can feel him. Nobody trusted nobody in this family. I wonder why. The voice was Jacob, but the hands were hairy like Esau. So Jacob passed the test. The old man was fooled. And he blessed him in verse 22. One more time, though, Isaac asked if it was really Esau. And one more time, Jacob lied. Lie number five. He said, I am. It's the name of God. I am. Verse 24. Now at verse 26, then his father Isaac said to him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said, surely the smell of my son is like the smell of the field, which the Lord has blessed. Therefore, may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you. Isaac believed that he was blessing Esau. He wanted Esau to be master over his brother, going against God's word. It was a direct disobedience to what God had declared. Now, some people explain that maybe he knew that he was really talking to Jacob and not Esau. I'm afraid not. Later on in verse 33, when he found out that he had blessed the wrong kid, he trembled exceedingly. He had been deceived by his own wife and his own son. At verse 30, now we have the wrong attitude. Then it happened as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. He also had made savory is delicious. He had made delicious food and brought it to his father and said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that your soul may bless me." And his father, Isaac, said to him, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am your son, your firstborn Esau." Then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, "Who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I have blessed him, and indeed he shall be blessed." So rather than reverse or try to cancel the blessing, which was not possible, Isaac realized that God was involved in this, and he affirmed that the blessing shall remain on Jacob. God's purposes shall stand. In verses 34 all the way to 46, we have now the conversation between Esau and his father. Esau thought that it was within his father's power to impart blessing without God or beyond God. "Don't you have any blessing for me anyway?" Esau was not a spiritual man. He still wanted to be blessed. And we read in verse 38 that he wept. He lifted up his voice and he wept. So Isaac blessed him, but confirmed that he would serve his younger brother in verse 40. "You shall serve your brother," it says. Esau hated Jacob because of that, which is a wrong attitude. The whole thing had been decided by God many years earlier, even before their birth. God had chosen Jacob, the younger, to be the spiritual leader and the line from which Christ will come from. In his anger, the older brother promised to kill Jacob as soon as the father would die, in verse 41. Rebekah heard those words, and she told Jacob to flee to her brother Laban, in verse 43. Little did she know that she would never see her son again. She'll die before he comes back. In verse 46, she seemed to be deceiving her husband again. The real reason to send Jacob to Haran was not really to seek a wife from him there, but to protect his life from his brother Esau, who wanted to kill him. The main lesson of chapter 27 is human nature is prone to scheme to bring about what God would do without any scheming. God does not need our cunning or our deceit to accomplish his purposes. We are to seek spiritual blessing the right way or get years of sorrow afterward. Choice is ours, either or. Chapter 28 deals with the departure of Jacob and his dream that he had. The chapter has three parts to it. First, the disappointment, verses 1 to 9. And then the discovery, verses 10 to 15, 10 to 17. And then we have the dedication from verses 18 to 22. So then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, You shall not take a wife from the daughter of Canaan. Remember, his heart was broken when he heard that his other son was marrying some heathen women. So he said, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of peoples, and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and to your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. The line of Jesus Christ must not be mixed with the line of cursed Ham. Isaac gave Jacob strict instruction not to marry a heathen woman. Almost the same word that Abraham said long ago to him concerning his own marriage. In Isaac's blessing of Jacob before he left, we see the recognition that Abraham's blessing was going to pass on to Jacob. God started with Abraham, it went now to Isaac, and now it is going to Jacob. Still, it was a day of disappointment. Jacob had to leave his family, leave his country, and he was pretty old to be a fugitive. In verses 6 to 9 there in the rest, Jacob obeyed the command of his dad, and he went to his uncle Laban in Padan Aram. He went to the brother of his mother. And then we are told there that wicked Esau, seeing that his heathen wife did not please his father Isaac, in verse 8, he married another heathen woman, the daughter of Ishmael, in verse 9. He was really a disappointment to his parents. The more we read about this boy Esau, the more we understand very clearly why God could not use him in the building of the kingdom. God could not use this man. God always knew how he was. And that's why he chose Jacob. Even before they were born, God knew. Before we were ever born, God knew us and knew what we would do, who we were marry, what we would be doing, where we would go, and when we die. Our life is one shot deal in front of God. God sees everything. He knew this boy would be like this. At verse 10, now we have the second part, the discovery. Jacob went out from Beersheba, and he went towards Haran. And he came to a certain place, and he stayed there all night, because the sun had set. And he put one of the stones of that place and put it at his head. And he laid down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west, the east, the north, the south. And in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. And Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. From now on, Jacob is the center of the story. Isaac lived 43 more years, but he is never mentioned again until his death, but not until then. He's done. Now it is passed from him to Jacob. 77-year-old Jacob was on the run. He was really making great time. From Beersheba to Bethel, this place there, is about 40 miles. And he did it in one day, on foot. He was really getting out of there fast. He's either in good shape or he was afraid of his brother catching up to him. When it was time to sleep, Jacob laid down on the ground. I have heard people talking about Jacob's hard pillow. I've seen picture of Jacob with his head on a rock. That's not scriptural at all. That's not what it says. It does not say that he placed a rock under his head. Read what it says. He placed a rock at his head for protection. It was not for comfort. There's no comfort on a hard pillow like this. Jacob might be separated from home. He might be separated from his family. But he was not separated from heaven. He had a dream from God. This is the very same area where Abraham was separated from Lot. That place. The place where God told Abraham to look north, south, east, west. All that land God had given to him and to his descendant. Now God is saying to Jacob, the grandson, look around north, south, east, west. I'm giving you this land. Here God has some words of comfort and encouragement for Jacob. He told him that he was with him. Greatest word you can ever hear. God saying, I am with you. He said that he would keep him safe wherever he went. That he would not leave him. Verse 15. And when Jacob woke up, he was sure that God was in this place. Verse 16. And that the place was really the gate of heaven. Verse 17. Quite a discovery he made. At verse 18, now we have the third part, the dedication. In verses 18 all the way to 22, Jacob dedicated himself to God and he promised to give God 10% of everything God would give him. And that was before the law was given. He had learned from his father, who had learned from his father, Abraham, the first one to give 10% to God, the first one to have a beautiful relationship with God. So one father passed it to his son, the son passed it to his son, and here we see that I will surely give a tenth to you, Lord, verse 22. The main lesson in chapter 28 is the believer should realize that he is ever in God's presence. God is not only at one certain place. However, no heart can feel at home in his presence until the heart is emptied and broken, like we see Jacob here. Chapter 29 deals with Jacob now and Laban. A new man is brought into the story. Laban is the uncle, and they are two bargain makers. Look out when these two Jews get together and decide to wheel and deal. The chapter can be divided into four parts. We see four different positions that a man can hold. First, he is the guest, verses 1 to 14. Then he will be the worker, verses 15 to 21. After that, we will see him as the groom, gonna get married, verses 22 to 30. And then we see him as the father, will have kids, verses 31 to 35. Chapter 29, so Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of the people of the east. And he looked and saw a well in a field. And behold, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered the flocks. A large stone was on the well's mouth. Now all the flocks would be gathered there, and they would roll the stone from the well's mouth, water the sheep, and put the stone back in its place on the well's mouth. And Jacob said to them, my brethren, where are you from? And they said, we are from Haran. Then he said to them, do you know Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, we know him. So he said to them, is he well? And they said, he is well. Look, his daughter Rachel is coming with the sheep. Jacob came to the right place. When he mentioned the name of his uncle, they knew him very well. They even pointed out to him that his daughter Rachel was coming to the well with her sheep. So she was a hard worker, working for her dad, bringing the sheep to drink at the well. In verses 7 to 14, we have the meeting, the first meeting of this lover boy, 77-year-old lover boy, with this woman that we don't know her age. I told you before, we know the age of women in the Bible when they die. It's about the same thing here. We only know when they're dead. It's on the card. They cannot lie anymore. They're dead. So we have the first meeting of this lover boy and Rachel. It appears like Jacob wanted to be alone with the girl. So he hurried the other shepherds to water their sheep and go. And we see him as being a bossy old man. And remember that, because next week that will come again. So he bossed the other shepherds around. Okay, come on, get your water and go. He wanted to be alone with the girl. When the old man saw the girl, and she was his cousin, mind you, he got all excited. He rolled the stone from the well. He watered the flock of Laban in verse 10. Then he kissed her and he wept. Sensitive old man. Verse 11. And she ran home and she told her father. Verse 12. Good girl. Tell daddy what the men do. When Laban heard the report that his sister's son was in town, he ran to meet him. And he embraced him and he kissed him. And he brought him home. Verse 13. And being a relative, Jacob agreed to stay there for a month in verse 14. He would be a guest. So that's the first part. He goes and he's a guest at his uncle. Verse 15, now we have the second part. Now we see the worker. Verse 15, Laban said to Jacob, because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what should your wages be? Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah. The name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were delicate, but Rachel's was beautiful of form and appearance. Now Jacob loved Rachel, and he said, I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than that I should give her to another man. Stay with me. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed but a few days to him because of the love he had for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife, for the days are fulfilled, that I may go into her. During the month that he was there, Jacob politely helped for free. His uncle Laban said that even though he was a relative, he should not serve him for nothing. So he asked Jacob to name his price. All along, Jacob had his eyes on Rachel, and he agreed to serve his uncle for 7 years for that one girl. That's in verse 18. Imagine, that's a man of faith. He's 77 years old and he promised to work hard 7 years to get a wife. He had never been married before. Laban probably knew that Jacob was in love with his girl Rachel, and he was not surprised at all at Jacob's answer. He probably would have given her to Jacob for much less, but since Jacob, the excited man, offered 7 years of labor for her, Laban jumped on the deal. Now, pay attention to verse 17. It talks about the girl there. Verse 17 mentions that Leah, the oldest girl, had delicate eyes. That has troubled a lot of people. Some commentators believe that they were blue eyes, a sign of weakness in that ethnic group, where deep brown eyes are more natural, the color of Rachel's eyes. Other commentators believe that she had actually an eye problem. Either she was cross-eyed or one was looking like the actor, I forgot his name, Heartfelt or whatever. You know the guy I mean, he's got one looking there. But they believe she had an eye problem or she could not see too good. They did not have glasses, they did not have contact lenses in those days like we have. And then there's still another group of commentators who believe that it is just a way to say that she was not good looking at all. She was hard on people's eyes. She was hard to look at, sort of the ugly duckling. And her sister Rachel was very beautiful. Anyway, both daughters might have been well beyond the age at which women usually marry. They married very young. But Laban might have been concerned about finding a husband for Leah. She has to go first. And whatever problem she has with her eyes, nobody wants her. So the younger cannot go nowhere. And since Leah had been unable to find a husband, both she and Rachel remained unmarried. It was not allowed in their custom for the younger to wed before the older. And that may have caused some friction between the two sisters. They did not get along too well even before they were married. Imagine now they're going to marry the same guy. What kind of deal is this? The Bible says love is patient. Jacob waited for his Rachel 7 years, working hard every day for her, and it seemed to him but a few days. Verse 20. I guess it is still possible to be romantic at 84 years old. He's now 84 years old. He worked 7 years for his woman. So ladies, hang in there. There's hope for the guy to still be romantic at age 84. Then Jacob asked for his wife because the time was up. I have served you well. Give me my wife now. Verse 22, the third part, the groom. Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. That's a wedding feast. Now it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to Jacob. And he went in to her. And Laban gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah as a maid. So it came to pass in the morning that behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this that you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served you? Why then have you deceived me? And Laban said, it must not be done so in our country, to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give you this one also for the service which you will serve with me still another 7 years. To an 84-year-old, that's not good news. Then Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, so he gave him his daughter Rachel as wife also. And Laban gave his maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as a maid or a servant. Then Jacob also went into Rachel, and he also loved Rachel more than Leah. And he served with Laban still another 7 years. The bride was always brought into the marriage chamber completely veiled. No one could see her face. That's why nowadays when we do wedding, they always remove the veil before the wedding. They want to make sure they got the right girl. They learn from these people. It must have been hard for Leah, the older, whatever problem she had, weak eyes, blue eyes, crossed eyes, whatever. It must have been hard for her to submit to this, to marry a man she knew did not love her, but loved her sister. It must not have been easy for her on the wedding night either, knowing that Jacob's thought in his own heart that he was with Rachel in the dark. It was tough for this woman. To Jacob, what his uncle did was criminal. But he was there because he was running away from his brother's anger, whom he had deceived. He had also deceived his own father. And now he himself was deceived by his uncle, currently his father-in-law. The Bible says, whatever a man sows, that he will reap. Galatians 6, verse 7. That law is necessary to keep order within the universe. If we did not reap what we have sown, the whole agricultural industry would be chaotic. We would plant corn and we would get carrots. We would never know what would grow from what we have planted. The law of sowing and reaping is not only valid in the physical universe, it is also valid in the spiritual dimension. We must be careful of what we are sowing in our lives, what we are planting in our life, what we are planting in our mind, or in the lives of our children, or in the minds of our children. No one can escape this law. The Bible also says, as you have done to others, it will be done unto you. That's in the book of Habakkuk. Remember that. As you have treated someone, it may take long time, it may take years, it will be done to you. To steal something, something will be stolen from you. Be rude to someone, someone will be rude to you. As you have done to others, this is a law of God, who knows all things, who is all powerful. So, as you have done to others, it will be done unto you. Jacob did not respect the right of the older brother. He did not learn that at home. So he is now learning to respect the right of older abroad. No pun intended, abroad. If we don't learn at home, we will learn somewhere else, but it will be harder then than at home. Laban is getting his money's worth. He is a real crook. He asked Jacob to work another 7 years for Rachel. He can have her after he is married 1 week. The first week was the most important week. The men would not They were feasting all week long. There was no work, no nothing. So he said, finish this week, then I'll give you the other one. And Jacob will later accuse his uncle of changing his wages 10 times. But he is reaping bad. And that's not all. He will have a real hard time with two wives at home. Two wives who already had friction between the two of them before they were married. God said one is enough, and he knows what is best. Verse 31 to 35, now we have the fourth part, the father. In verses 31 to 35, we have the situation at home. An old man, 84 years old, has two wives, and each wife has a nurse or a maid, a servant. Unfortunately, one was loved and the other was not loved. God opened the womb of the unloved and he shut the womb of the loved one. It is sad that Leah believed that having a child would make her husband love her. It did not. The first son she got, she called him C, or Reuben. Reuben is C, verse 32. The second one she got, she called him here, Simeon, verse 33. God sees, so she was glad that God sees her, and then God heard her. So she called the first one C, called the second one here. The first two sons were named after the distress of her heart because of a lack of love. In rapid succession, she bore 4 kids while Rachel remained totally barren. In that culture, the husband could divorce his wife for not bearing children. If she could bear only girls and no boys, he could still divorce her. Leah got 4 boys and then stopped bearing children in verse 35. She stopped bearing. Main lesson in this chapter, the believer who has erred may not be forsaken by God, but he will reap the shame and the sorrow of his self-chosen way. We reap what we sow. Remember that. Next week, the race continues. The women are going to fight to sleep with the old men, trying to have as many children as possible. And the old man is not going to say anything. No complaints from him. We won't hear anything from him until he realizes that his uncle is cheating him. So read the next 3 chapters, 30, 31, 32. Shall we pray? Father, we do thank you for your word. What a treasure it is to us, Lord, to see, to look in the old days, look at the old ways, how your people lived, and to learn from them. And Father, we learn tonight that as we have done to others, it will be done to us. And we learn that we reap what we sowed. This one man deceived others, but his turn came, and he was deceived by a family member, by his uncle. So may we learn, Lord, to treat others as we want them to treat us, so that we are not going to be surprised down the road reaping what we have sown. Thank you, Father, for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please stand. So quite a story of an old guy running away from home, 77 years old. We don't keep them that long anymore in our home. But he had to learn the hard way. He would not learn in his home, so God made sure that he would learn somewhere else. Those two verses, young people, you should never forget. We sow, we reap what we've sown. That is a guarantee. Whatever you sow, you will reap. And the other thing is, as you have done to others, it will be done unto you. It is a sure thing. When I was a teenager, and I liked some girls, I would call their home. If the father would answer the phone, I would just hang up. Didn't want to talk to him. I'm not interested in him. I just want the girl. Well, believe it or not, when my daughter was a teenager, the phone would ring. I pick up the phone and they would hang up on me. I knew exactly what it was. As I had done to others, it was done unto me. It's a sure thing. It's a spiritual law. It will happen to you. It will follow you all the days of your life. You will reap what you have sown, and it will be done to you as you have done to others. We need to learn. If you do great things, then great things are going to be done to you. If you sow good things, then good things you're going to reap. You're going to have a great life reaping good things because you are planting good things in your mind, in your life. You surround yourself with godly people, godly friends, and you're putting good in you, you're going to have a beautiful life. But if you sow garbage, it's going to come and haunt you. So may the Lord be with you. May the Lord bless each and every one of you. May He bless your life, your week, your work starting tomorrow. And may He always remind you to do good. Because as you have done to others, it will be done unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.